Johnson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Republican leaders are blasting the Justice Department today for putting Donald Trump on notice in its investigation into the 2020 election. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
The American public is tired of this. They want to see equal justice, and the idea that they utilize this to go after those who politically disagree with them is wrong.
Meantime, a judge will decide logistics in Trump's classified documents case. CBS's Christian Benavides is in Miami.
What's at issue today? At issue is a 1980 law known as the Classified Information Procedures Act, which covers how a classified evidence can be used in trial, essentially balancing national security concerns on the one hand and the defendant's due process on the other hand. We could also get a sense on when this trial could actually start.
Tourists are sweating it out in brutal heat today. It's 110 in Vegas.
I'm in from Nashville, Tennessee, visiting Vegas, and it is hot as hell here. Woo, I tell you. So if you come in, make sure you have your sunscreen, your sunglasses, and a little bit of vodka.
If you're inside, don't crank up the air too high.
Residents in California are being urged to take it easy on the air conditioning to avoid a potential blackout. Death Valley is registering temperatures above 110 degrees at night.
When you've got really hot temperatures that don't cool down at night, that can be really taxing on the electrical equipment.
That's CBS's Michael George reporting. Tropical Storm Calvin's about to hit Hawaii. Hawaii County Mayor Mitch Roth wants people to prepare for flooding.
We know that in the past, a little bit of rain can cause flooding of our roads. We're opening up shelters and just want to make sure that if people get stuck, there's a place for them to go.
Kim Kardashian may have saved a life.
This New Year's, I got shot 4 times.
Angelina Wiley was hit by gunfire during a random attack in Kansas City, Missouri. Bullets ruptured her organs and shattered her hip. But in a TikTok video, she claims she survived because of her skin-tight bodysuit.
It was so tight on me that it literally kept me from bleeding out.
Doctors say it is possible her skims helped apply pressure to her wounds or worked like a tourniquet, but she doesn't need any convincing.
Kim Kardashian saved my life.
Chris Mavridi, CBS News.
Someone could become a billionaire this week. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
No one had last night's numbers for Powerball.
Starting out with 17.
Which means the new jackpot on Wednesday night is estimated to be $1 billion. But jackpots increase if ticket sales surge ahead of drawings, so it could go even higher.
And if you can't wait, tonight's Mega Millions is more than $600 million. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
We all know about the speed of sound, but have you ever thought about the sounds of speeding? If you drive over the speed limit, there are lots of sounds that you might hear. You could hear the sound of your vehicle crashing, the sound of first responders desperately trying to save you. You could even hear the sound of people crying at a funeral. Because if you drive over the speed limit, you could do damage that's beyond repair. One way or another, speeding catches up with you. Paid for by NHTSA.
If this were a Reese's TV ad, you'd be staring at a Reese's peanut butter cup. And sure, my voice is peanut buttery smooth, but still, you need to see the peanut butter cups, right? No? I can really just say Reese's and you'll go get some? Okay, Reese's. 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 Really working, actually. Reese's. Reese's. This, I'm on to something. Reese's. 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 Reese's.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, July 19th. In Wood County, the Local Emergency Planning Committee will meet at 1 at the Courthouse EOC. The McMillan Memorial Library Board of Trustees will meet at 5 at the McCourt Conference Room at the library. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Subcommittee will meet at 7 p.m. at the Hewitt Village Hall. In Portage County, the Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30 at 350 East Liberty Street in Adams. The Wisconsin Rapids Rafters are back at the ballpark tonight after a day off yesterday. The now 7-7 Rafters will take on the Madison Mallards the next two nights. Tonight, they play at Witter Field at 6:05. Tomorrow, they head to Madison to take on the Mallards on their home field at Warner Park. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of aloft around 55. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. High temperatures reach up to 83. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 79.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this July 18th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. I'm going to be joined at 3:30 by Terry John, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties. Her and I will be catching up in just a little bit. Right now, we have in studio a ton of people. We have our good friend Emily Stevie with us. Emily, good to see you.
Good to see you as well.
Thanks a lot for being here, Emily. You and I will talk more in a moment. But you brought some friends with you, Em. Some great people.
I brought a lot of friends.
We're going to have them introduce themselves in a moment. Now, we're, of course, talking to Emily from the Boys and Girls Club, and I just want to read this as it's written up here. Thanks to Herb Cole, a philanthropist grant, 38 teens traveled with 8 chaperones to Washington, D.C. at the end of June. I want to talk about this trip with you, Emily. I want to get into this with you here. Why don't you go ahead and pull the mic over just for a second, Emily, if you don't mind, because I'm going to talk your ear off for a second, and then I'm going to talk the kids' ears off.
Sounds good.
So how did this come about, Emily? Was this presented to you all? Did you guys seek this out?
Well, this was actually an opportunity. The Herb Cole Philanthropies Grant Group actually reached out to us. The trip was actually pushed back due to COVID. And so we had the opportunity this year to finally put a group together of kids. And we shared this opportunity with the teens from both the Wisconsin Rapids Club site and also the Nakusa Club site. So between the 38 teens that joined us, we had representation from the WRPS and Nakusa school districts, which was really great because it gave another opportunity for teens from different communities to get together for a very intense but fun trip.
Yeah.
Yes. Traveling by bus.
I'm just happy to still see you, Emily.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking. I'm just kidding.
I did.
I wanted to know about the kind of things you guys did. What did you guys all do in D.C.?
It was a jam-packed itinerary. We actually worked, Herb Cole Philanthropies works closely with World Strides, which is a travel agency, and they provided a tour guide, Miss Kim. She was phenomenal. She met us in D.C., but it was a jam-packed itinerary. So it was 5 days total. The first day we rode via coach bus, and we drove through the lovely states of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Oh, so you drove there.
Okay. All right. Well, I didn't. We sat in chairs and...
Right on.
Yes.
Good road trip, though.
Good little road trip. And then the very first thing we went to was actually the Pentagon Memorial the night we arrived there. So something interesting, hopefully you guys don't talk about this, but we were taking pictures, and then on the bus we were informed you're actually not allowed to take pictures of the Pentagon building.
For security
purposes, which I had no idea.
Yeah.
So I was one of those that was deleting pictures off my phone.
You just saved me because I would do that. I'm glad to know that.
Yeah, but so that kicked off our trip, and then we had 3 full days of seeing different memorials, museums. We went to different Smithsonian museums. We went to monuments as well. It was just boom, 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 boom. It was awesome. It was tiring, but we got to see a lot. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah,
we saw a lot. So. Yeah. It was very, very cool. We kind of shared it as for kids, teens that were interested in history, interested in traveling. For us, for our group, I would say there were at least 50% of the kids who had never left the state of Wisconsin. So the fact that we had this opportunity for teens in our community was pretty phenomenal. So we're very thankful for the experience.
Emily, did you get to travel at all when you were young?
I did, actually. Yeah, we did a lot of road trips in the old minivan. So
yeah,
melted
here.
Some crayons a couple times accidentally.
Yeah, I hear you on that one. A lot of road games, a lot of that. Same here. Traveled a lot as a kid, and I know how much of an impact it had on me. Mm-hmm. I know how much it opened my mind and got me to enjoy different things and have a taste of different cultures and foods. I can't imagine the impact that it has on these guys. Just thinking about it for us adults that are listening out there, and you and I, we know that there's the things that they're registering, and then there's the stuff years later that mm-hmm. will have an impact and will really hit them.
And they won't realize it now, but down the road. And actually, that was one of the things that I enjoyed most about the trip, was observing how the group of teens were experiencing the trip and the things that they were sharing with me. It was pretty amazing. So it was a fun group of kids. I'm very proud of the group. It was a lot of fun.
I want to talk to the kids and get their experience, but before that, Emily, real quick, how about for you? Have you been to D.C. before? Did you get some experiences from this?
Yeah, I actually used to live in Maryland for a year. Oh. And so my husband and I went, before we had kids, went there. And we checked out the Washington Memorial and the Lincoln Memorial, World War II Memorial. We went to some of the Smithsonian museums, but actually the African American and Holocaust museums weren't up yet, or they were still being built or worked on. So those two museums, gosh, you could have spent easily a week in each of them. It was just, it was intense, and they kind of warn you about that. But the amount of history just from spending two, three hours, guys, at each of those. Yeah. So it was just phenomenal. And just, it's definitely intense. There's pictures and there's things, you know, but it's real. It's real information. You know, it's not. And in this day and age, I was so thankful and appreciative that I had the opportunity to get that real knowledge that wasn't spun necessarily in a specific direction for someone or a group's agenda. So it was very rewarding and very humbling, too, to be thankful and grateful for, you know, there's been a lot in our history, but I think it's important, and I hope these guys realize, too, we have to learn our history so we don't repeat our mistakes.
I would think it wouldn't take this, but as a Jewish person, I will tell you that it's very important that they see this stuff, that they take this stuff in. It is heavy. It's supposed to be heavy.
Yeah.
That certain things are like that in life. But to your point, we don't do history any good. All this stuff is for nothing if we don't learn from it.
Right.
If we don't not let the past repeat itself.
Yeah.
It's very vital that we know these things. We take this knowledge in. There are a lot of people. I just 2 months ago was in a fight with somebody about the Holocaust and if it happened or not. I mean, it's important.
Yeah.
It's important to have this
stuff.
And
actually, with the Holocaust Museum, we were fortunate enough. There is a Holocaust survivor there. She had her story written out on a form, and she was extremely welcoming, and she was open for people to answer or ask any questions. And she was 3 years old when this all happened, and she was passed around a convent. And then once they got word that Jewish children were being held in convents, she was transferred. So by the time she was four, she had been moved like three times. She lost both her parents through the Holocaust, but she was just an amazing person. She was so full of warmth and kindness and compassion. And it's just astounding to me.
Yeah.
But maybe because I'm also a mom, but I mean, just it really hits. And so the fact that these guys had an opportunity to meet an actual Holocaust survivor, it was just mind-blowing. It was phenomenal. It was a great trip.
They walked like 30 miles in just 3 days or something like that.
The other chaperones and I, we tracked it thanks to our Apple Watches. We did like 32 miles in 10 days.
That's impressive, you guys. That is impressive.
The feet were barking.
I can imagine. Well, we're going to give you a chance to take sort of a little break here, Emily, because I'm going to talk to the kids for a moment. I want to get their experiences and get everything. And we'll go down the line here. What I want you to do first is introduce yourself. Okay? So we'll start there, and then I got a question for you each, and I'll take my time with each one of you. So if you don't mind going first.
I'm Artis Parker.
Artis, nice to meet you. Thanks for being here. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good, good. How did you enjoy the trip?
Definitely was an experience. I definitely like the Smithsonian's.
Yeah. Are you, did you enjoy history? Did you enjoy a lot of that part of it?
I thought it was very interesting, taking some of my ethnicity. I also like reading on that and mm-hmm. learning about that.
Yeah, it's nice. It helps you kind of, I think, for me, when I was younger, learning more and more about my cultures and those, it helped me find my voice. And I think that that's something for a lot of people, no matter what you creed you are or anything like that, it can help do that. What was one of the things that you enjoyed most about the trip? You don't have to pick one, but what was one of the things that you enjoyed most?
I think I liked the African-American Smithsonian the most. My dad would already teach me about the black culture, because he is also African American, mm-hmm. and I have African American in me, so I would like look up to what he says about the culture. Definitely, the saddest part about it was the bottom layer. Mm-hmm. Definitely one of the sadder parts.
When it comes to this trip, DC in itself, is it something that you want to do again someday? You want to go back to DC?
Maybe whenever I have more leg strength.
That's a great answer. Yep. Great answer. That's awesome. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. We'll go ahead and go down the line here. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Hello, I'm Alexis.
Alexis, nice to meet you. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. Alexis, what did you enjoy about the trip?
I think my favorite part would be the Grave of the Unknown Soldiers.
Yeah. Now, did you feel when you went there, did you know about that before you went to DC?
No, I did not.
Okay. So seeing that seems like it hit you pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understandable. And the purpose of it is to hit us, to make us think about this, to make us think of our soldiers and so many of them that we lost. Did you find yourself doing that?
A little bit, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good on you. What were some of your favorite parts of the trip? It's a tough one. You guys did a lot. It's hard to think of. Like, you got to decide. What about this or that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, like, where Martin Luther King Jr. gave his I Have a Hope Dream speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My daughter lived in D.C. for a while, and that was one of her favorite places to go and have lunch or just sit and contemplate and everything. That and the cherry blossoms, I think, were out around that time. So that was were the cherry blossoms out for you guys? No, I didn't think so. That's why I was going to ask. Would you go back to D.C.?
Yes, I would.
Yeah. I enjoyed yourself. Very cool. How did you enjoy all the walking? How was that for you?
My legs were definitely tired at the end of the day.
Yeah. Are your guys' legs still tired? I think that's really what my question should be. That's what it is.
Surprisingly not.
Hey, you guys are too good at this. Don't take my job, okay? I need this job. Please don't take my job. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I'll move on down the line, and we'll go ahead and ask you. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Valentina.
Hi, Valentina. Nice to meet you. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Good. What did you enjoy about the trip?
Learning about history and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I don't know if many of us think of this that way, but Washington, D.C. is one of our cradles of history. It truly is. Not just because of the how long it's been around, but how much of our museums and so much of our something from out west goes to the D.C. to be at a museum, that sort of thing. What were some of your favorite parts about the trip?
Just learning about history and just like, yeah.
Yeah. Any in particular place or anything that you went to?
I like going to like the ghost story place. That was very interesting.
Oh, I didn't hear about this. There was a ghost story place.
Yeah.
Interesting. My mother loves ghost stories and those things, so I have to follow up and ask. Was it in particular story, or was it a bunch of stories?
It was like a bunch of stories.
Ah, okay. So and you found that interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would you find yourself going back to D.C. someday?
Yes.
Very cool. Very cool. And are your legs tired? No, I just get this. I already heard. They're not. They're fine. And finally, look at you, young man.
My name is Jeremy.
Jeremy, nice to meet you. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good. Jeremy, what did you enjoy about the trip?
I liked all the memorials.
Yeah, you enjoyed it. Do you like history, Jeremy?
Yes, I like it a lot.
Cool, very cool. Me too. I'm a sucker for history. Love it. Was there anything in particular? Was there a favorite thing you did, or was there a couple of things you did that you really enjoyed?
Yeah, I really liked the U.S. Marine Corps Memorial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was really cool how the flag, as you drive around it, it looks like it's going up.
That is, I've seen pictures of that. That is really cool. That's a nice note. I like that. Jeremy, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And appreciate all your guys' feedback. I might have another question or two for you. You might not be off the hook yet, but I do think you guys, I do want to tell you all did a great job. And thank you very much for all your feedback and letting us know that. I've already wanted to go to D.C., but thanks to you guys, I now I got a plan forming in my head. I got an outline of what I want to do there and stuff. Emily, if you don't mind, I would like to talk to you just about a couple of other things as we got a good 5-10 minutes left here of the show.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the Boys and Girls Club a little bit.
All right. Yeah. What do you want to know?
So we have this foundation that helped these kids do this.
Yeah.
And I know you know our community. There are people out there listening and like, well, that's a really good idea. Mm-hmm. I would like to do something like that. I would like to help with something like that. Not everybody can start a philanthropy group or something, but everybody out there can volunteer.
Yep.
We're always looking for volunteer opportunities at the Boys and Girls Club. Are there things in particular that we could really use a hand with or just anything in general?
Really, volunteers would be spectacular. We have a phenomenal summer staff. Shout out to the club. Mm-hmm. But we're always looking for volunteers. And specifically in the teen center, we are trying to provide access to opportunities around different workforce opportunities. So if there are people who are in an industry and you know there's a growing need and you would be interested and able to come talk with the teens or have them come check out your work site, we would love to get in contact with you.
It's one of those things where not everybody has dollars and cents to contribute,
right.
Though we greatly appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely.
But most everybody's got an hour or two they can kill.
Yep.
And there's such a great impact you can make by working with and volunteering at the Boys and Girls Club.
Absolutely. And even just being a positive role model for the kids is huge. Our teen center, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys like doing like the STEM and the art projects, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. This is a very artistic group. So even if someone wants, if you have a hobby of sketching or charcoal drawing or watercoloring or I don't know anything, I'm not an arts person, so I apologize to those in the community who they're like, oh my gosh, saying all the cliche things. We would love to have you come to the club and help lead an art activity with the teens. So our kids on the youth side also do art. If you're a little bit braver and want to get a little bit messier. Mm-hmm. Although I don't know, you guys sometimes.
Yeah.
They're all giving me looks.
There's also the in-kind donations that we encourage from people as well.
Yeah, this summer we've actually received some board games from different community members, which we've helped. That's cool. Helped kind of restock our games, and we've gotten some puzzles as well. I'm trying to think of what else. I think we've gotten some other things donated. But yeah, anything that could be utilized for our youth and teens to do at the club. If you're not utilizing it anymore and looking to get rid of it and it's in good working condition still, we would love the opportunity to utilize it with our youth.
Mm-hmm. And I wanted to mention this, Emily, because I don't think I knew about this before the last time we talked. Maybe it's a newer thing, but the Amazon Smile.
Oh, yeah.
That is a very cool thing. And no cost to you, Amazon Smile is a simple way to support the Boys and Girls Club of the Wisconsin Rapids area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You start shopping at smile.amazon.com, and Amazon will donate 0.5% of the price of your eligible Amazon Smile purchase to the club.
Yeah, and every little penny helps. You would be surprised how quick that can add up. But we're very thank you to those who have been doing that. And yes, if you're looking for something and you're an Amazon shopper for some of those things that you could not possibly get locally, then that would be a great opportunity as well.
And the recurring gifts. I wanted to wrap on that with as far as donations go, because there is groups out there and even individuals out there that can set up these things where it's a yearly thing where you donate certain amounts.
Yeah, so we've actually had individuals in our community, and so thankful for this, through their retirement plans, they have a certain amount donated to the club, whether that be annually or twice a year. So there are opportunities like that, and we can work with individuals and groups as well if that's something they would be interested in.
We've got, of course, our Wisconsin Rapids area that we like to highlight and talk about, and we're definitely able to do that here. But you touched on this earlier, and I wanted to come back to it. It isn't just Rapids residents that can take advantage of the Boys and Girls Club.
Right. It's actually pretty much the whole community. Right now in the teen center, we have teens representing the Port Edwards, Nakusa Rapids, and actually I have some kids from the private sector too that attend summer club. So, and then during the school year, we have all of our elementary school sites through WRPS. But then we have CARE at our Port Edwards Elementary School site, and then Nakusa through Assumption Middle School. We have our CCLC site out there.
Emily, is there any other events or anything coming up with the Boys and Girls Club we definitely want to highlight and touch on?
Oh, we're pretty busy hanging out and doing opportunities with the teens right now. We just went to a Rafters game last week.
Nice.
The weather was great, but not the kids' faces.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
They're all rolling their eyes. Oh, yeah, Miss Emily.
You're sitting in the sun there. Yeah.
No, they had, it was fun until it started raining a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that happens. So Wisconsin.
I thought a fun way to kind of wrap this up would to be if you could travel anywhere question. You know, this is one of those ones that we love that Emily and I would do all the time as kids growing up, I'm sure, with our friends and stuff and everything. If you could travel anywhere. But I can't do this and not put you and I on the spot, Emily.
Okay.
So you could travel anywhere, but it has to be somewhere you haven't been already.
Ugh.
That's the catch. I gotcha. That's the guy. I
gotta
do it. I can do it.
Because I was gonna say New Zealand in a heartbeat.
Ooh.
But I studied abroad there.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Ooh, I am so jealous of you right now.
Okay, PSA, take advantage of travel abroad programs.
Yes.
Take advantage of it. Take note, teens. Iceland. I've never been to Iceland.
Oh, that's a great choice.
So I would go there.
Great choice. That's a great choice. Beautiful, beautiful country. It looks so pretty out there.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, guys. Got to put you on the spot now. Artis, we'll have you first. If you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go? Anywhere. It's a tough one.
I might just go with Hawaii.
Good choice. Good choice. Very good choice.
Very bright and happy looking.
I like that. Yeah. And as we're wrapping up here too, I wanted to give you a chance to say hi to anybody if you wanted to say hi to mom and dad or anybody like that.
And then yes, hello mom and dad and my worker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right on. Good on you. Okay, next, Alexis.
If I could travel anywhere, I'd probably go to Canada to see, like, all the waterfalls and stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's one of my dad's favorite places. He loves Canada, in part because of the waterfalls and everything. That's a good choice. Anybody you want to say hi to, Alex?
Hi, Mom.
Nice job. Nice job. It gets you points. It's always a good idea to say hi to Mom. Nice job. Ed, keep going here.
I would go...
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I don't know why your mic was off. Go ahead.
I would go to Japan or Italy.
Oh, gosh, you guys are getting the great choices here, and I'm making a list in my head as well. As an Italian, I have to go to Italy. I don't have a choice, but Japan is a great one. That's a really good one. It's a sneaky good one right there. I like that. Nice, nice and done. Do you have anybody you want to say hi to?
Hello, random people.
Very nicely done. Very nicely done. And Jeremy.
I'd like to also go to Canada because I really like to hunt and fish, and I think that Canada's probably one of the best spots to do it.
It's what brought my dad up there. They used to take a trip every summer, him and my papa, and then they'd go up there to go fly fishing and stuff. They loved fishing up in Canada. That's a great choice, Jeremy. Nicely done. I'd ask if you want to say hi to anybody, but I feel like your mom's right over there. But you can still, if you want, you can say,
hi, Mom, hi, Dad.
Nice. Nice job. Nice job. That's a good one. Always, it's never a bad idea. Never a bad idea. Emily, you guys, thank you so much for being here today. This has been a really fun show. I really do appreciate it. I look forward to talking with you again, Emily, and the Boys and Girls Club, of course, and finding out more and more about all the great things coming up.
Yes, and you and listeners can always stop by on Thursdays. The Boys and Girls Club have a stand at the farmers market, and they have been making some delicious items.
Yeah.
Like the s'more brownie.
Come on. I got to wait until like an hour before I can eat. No. That is a really good one. And it's great to hear about the stand. I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't know if it was still going or not, and I couldn't find the information. It is still going.
We are there every Thursday. So the teens They work at the farmer's market, and then we run our snack shack at club on Wednesdays and Fridays, and we're working on learning about profits and sales, and then they're working towards a goal of doing an activity or purchasing something for the teen center, which, guys, we need to talk about that.
Yeah. And that is very
Summer's
cool.
wrapping up. Yeah.
That is really
well,
cool.
Work hard, play hard. So they yes. work hard, and we want to make sure that they get to enjoy from working hard. So.
Every Thursday, we encourage people to get down to the farmer's market, especially to help out our ag industry, our vendors.
Yep.
You guys are in that group as well.
Yeah.
It's helping a nonprofit. The money from that goes into these kids and their futures and the great work that's being done at the Boys and Girls Clubs. That's awesome. Thanks for letting us know, Emily.
Absolutely.
Always good to talk to you.
You as well. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Thank you all. Have a great day. Have a great day, all of you. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Record-breaking wildfires in Canada have already scorched millions of acres of forest, and the season is only about halfway through. Officials in Canada said there are nearly 900 fires burning, with about two-thirds of them labeled out of control. This past weekend, the entire state had an air quality advisory due to smoke from the wildfires, but that advisory was allowed to expire Sunday night as the smoke has moved out for the time being. 25 million acres of forest have burned so far, an area that is roughly the size of Ohio. Pickleball has fast become a wildly popular sport. This means there's also been a rise in pickleball injuries. WAOW reports an increase in sprains, strains, and more. They say it's because people are picking it up after years of not playing anything. Treat injuries as soon as they happen, drink plenty of water, and stretch. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lows of aloft around 55. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. High temperatures reach up to 83. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 60. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 79.
Welcome back to Midday Magazine for this July 18th, 2023. I have your host, James J. Mailoff here, and I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Hey, James.
Hey, Terry. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
We have to put on our professional hats here. We have to, you know, act professional.
Yeah, this is no morning show.
No. But it is good to see you and always have you in studio and talk United Way. I want to kick things off getting into Stuff the Bus, but before we get too dived in, if we're not at the midway point in summer, we're somewhere around there or past it.
We have to be, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not wishing it away, but it's not my favorite time of year, so I'm fine with it. Just
right.
The passage of time doesn't really affect me.
But it's a busy time of year for you guys. You've already gotten quite a few events in and done a lot. How has this summer been for the United Way and to something we'll get to a little bit later, the campaign?
Yeah, so we have been really busy. We do have some events that happen in June, and then July we really spend with campaign prep. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to have all of our materials, like everything ready that we might distribute out in the community or at workplaces, to have those things just really, updated, fresh, new, talking about what we're doing. More importantly, the impact. What does that mean for the community? Mm-hmm. But really just working on all of those things to make sure that in August when we, start up with campaign, there's not just a message, but a clear message. And here's mm-hmm. the impact. And when you invest in United Way and in your community, this is what it does. And this is why it's important. So that's really where the majority of the focus has been, but then it's also working with, you know, local vendors. So thinking about our local printers, we think about Quality Plus, we think about Faye Printing, Heinz, and, you know, all of these partners that we have as a United Way in the community to make sure that everything that, you know, we want to, the message that we want to get out, we can get out in the best way possible and in the most cost-effective way. So really, July is very much, you know, planning and getting ready and the anticipation sometimes, you know, that it's fun. It's also a time where, you know, like many organizations, when a lot of our staff use their vacation time, right? Yeah. Like it's just an enjoyable time to be, you know, recharging your batteries and refreshing and spending time with family. And so, so we do, if you stop by our office, you see there's not a whole lot of people there because everybody's using their time off before we get into busy season. But, you know, what's coming on the horizon really quickly is August 3rd is the day that United Way sponsors Lunch by the River. Mm-hmm. And so this is, it's not really our campaign kickoff, but, you know, it kind of is. And it's a little bit of a recap. We will have books there to give out to kids. So thinking about our great book giveaway and getting kids signed up for Imagination Library if they are not already. And so, you know, there's some of that, engaging with the youth that's there. And then it's just, you know, talking about United Way. Here's what we're doing. Here's where our focus is. And the reason that we sponsor that day is because we are also the lead on Stuff the Bus. And so Stuff the Bus is, if you've not heard of it, school supply drive and distribution. So we are collecting that day on Thursday, August 3rd at Lunch by the River, Veterans Memorial Park. We are collecting school supplies. Mm-hmm. We do ask you to please bring us your school supplies on that day or drop them off at a local. We have a list on our website of local businesses that are collecting supplies now. So if you say, you know, maybe you're somewhere shopping this afternoon and you're like, well, I don't really want to hang on to this stuff for, you know, 2 weeks, but you could drop it off at one of those participating businesses. But we really stress us getting everything by August 3rd because that day it's awesome. We have a huge group of volunteers that actually inventory everything. So they'll go through like down to the science of, okay, we have 268 yellow folders. Well, how many more do we need? Right. And so that inventory point is really important because that afternoon, once everything is counted, we actually place an order for what we don't have. So it's a little bit, not unappreciated, but a little bit frustrating when the next day a huge pile of supplies gets dropped off because we really try to be so frugal and cost effective with the with the funds that we have. And so it's just really appreciated if people can plan ahead. Again, we are, you know, a little better than 2 weeks out. So if you can really be thinking about that, and if August 3rd is a conflict, get it to us beforehand. Not after the fact. So that's kind of how the process works, gathering up all these school supplies. But, you know, so what? Well, here's the so what. Families who have who qualify for free and reduced lunch also qualify for free school supplies. There also could be another need that's popped up. You know, maybe we have families who are in the community who what we call in the Alice category, where, you know, working but, you know, underemployed, or maybe there was just some sort of hardship, right? Car broke down. So as long as you can demonstrate some sort of financial need, you qualify for free school supplies. And right now we have a little over 800 kids registered.
Wow.
You can register up till August 3rd. So if you have a need for school supplies, you have to do that by visiting our website, uwswac.org. There is a banner that pops up right away. You click on that and then you put in the information for the children that you are registering. If you do not have internet access, or you're, you know, limited with your device or something like that, you also can call 211, and that's literally just 211. And that call would need to happen between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday. And that resource specialist can also get you registered, but that's the only way to do it. And we know it's working because over 800 kids have already been registered.
Right.
So this is serving the needs of children in Southwood County. And all of those school supplies then that are collected are going to get to these kids. And that distribution is happening on August 18th and 19th. Mm-hmm. It's a Friday and Saturday. And when you register to get school supplies, you select your pickup time. It's a drive-through style. Happens over at the old East Junior High. Again, we need volunteers to help with that process as well. So this is a really important time. It's an important time for kids. You know, it's making sure that there's not a disparity when, you know, when kids start school, that they have what they they need. Sometimes we can't provide everything. Yeah. But if you think about it, you know, let's just say school supplies for one elementary age child cost about $75. Mm-hmm. You know, we might not be able to provide all of it, but what if we provide $60 worth? Think about right. that. 15 right. versus 75.
It's more manageable.
It makes a big difference. And especially if there's multiple students in the family.
Yeah.
So we do our best to provide everything that an elementary, you know, teacher is asking for, or I shouldn't just say elementary, middle school or high school. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, all school students are eligible. But a couple of things to remember if you want to shop, because mm-hmm. this is fun too. I always yeah. love this. When we go do school supplies, it's like, okay, grab an extra of those.
Yeah, me too.
When you think about notebooks and folders, we're looking for solid color. Mm-hmm. So we're looking for, and really just your primary colors. So well, they're not, I guess they're not all primary colors, are they? Green is not a primary color. But we're looking for red, blue, yellow, green. Mm-hmm. So those are really the colors that we're looking for. You don't need to spend the extra money on the, you know, the folder with the kitty on it. Yeah, because we're really just following those core subjects, you know, language arts, math, science, mm-hmm. social studies. They've kind of narrowed that down. So it's like everyone uses whatever. Let's say green for math. Yeah, and everyone uses yeah. the. So then it just... The idea, again, is no disparity, right? Like, let's get them what they need. So, again, exciting time for kids, exciting time for families, but an exciting time for the community to be able to step up in a really, really easy way. I mean, yeah. right? Let's face it. Yeah. Even if you don't have a big budget, to buy, you know, 4 packs of 50-cent crayons makes a huge impact, but maybe doesn't make a big dent in your budget, right?
Right. Folders, a similar situation. And you brought up the ALICE report, and I think that's very key to this conversation, because we, for years, you and I have talked about the line in the sand of people doing well and how easily that can fade to you being behind that line. Now we have the data to show people. We can tell people that, hey, this is we're not just talking about this. These are the facts. Here's the stats for you about this. And we're talking about our future here. We're talking about investing in your future. There's nothing light to take about that. These are helping kids have all the tools they need so that they can learn and get smarter than better than us and make the future better than we've done. It's the goal.
Absolutely. And you know, it's just really cool that we can be making this big of an impact with something that, you know, seems pretty easy, right? You know, it seems like a light lift, but it's only a light lift because so many people are involved.
Well, I forgot about this, too, because when we've talked about this in the past, I often am brought back to being that kid on the first day of school and not having all the supplies and being distracted and not being able to focus and feeling like I was lesser than my fellow students and those things. But I forget about the fun part. I did get to school shop a bit, and it was fun. I enjoyed doing that kind of stuff. And I think as an adult, it gives you, especially if you're like me and your kids are in their 20s and they Dad, why'd you buy me a glue stick? I'm 23. Like, I'm sorry. I just want to. It kind of gives you a little bit of
don't
that
eat
back.
It.
No, don't eat it. It gives you a little chance to kind of do some of that stuff again, to pick up some things for these kids and stuff. And I think that part of it can be a lot of fun for people.
Absolutely. And it is, you know, the other thing that, you know, we've upped our game over the years, right? Like you learn and you build in efficiencies. And one of the things that we learned is that we tried for several years because we just didn't have the funds to support it. Mm-hmm. But we would say, you know, if you bring your own backpack, you know, there was some kind of an incentive. Well, we also know, I mean, let's be real. Elementary age boys are hard on backpacks. I mean, right? And I shouldn't just say boys. Elementary age kids. But, you know, they're getting dragged around. And if they ride the bus, they're getting... So when we now, especially with the drive-through model, everything is in a backpack. Mm-hmm. So then there's that, too. It's not like they're getting a plastic bag of supplies. Because, you know, what we were hearing as feedback is some kids, that's how they were bringing this stuff to school. You know, if we were providing the supplies and not a backpack, they still didn't have a backpack.
I probably would have been with that kid.
Right. And so then we, you know, learn from that. And it's like, okay, if we work a little bit harder to hustle a little bit more money, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we actually found a company that we work with that we order the backpacks and we get a really good rate on them. And, you know, so that's awesome, too.
Yeah.
Because then there is a little bit of that fun shopping aspect. Yeah, I mean, they might not be in the store shopping for it, but when that backpack gets handed through the car window, and you get to open it and see everything that's in there. It's just, it's exciting.
If you want to find out locations you can drop items off at, or if you want to find out more about this and just register, you can go to uwswac.org. We'll give you that information again before we wrap up. And again, you have until August 3rd to register for Stuff the Desk.
Absolutely. And if you'd like to volunteer to help with on August 3rd to help us at Lunch by the River, or to join us for the distribution and help with that process, you can certainly get a hold of Ben at United Way. And our phone number is 715-421-0390.
We're a little less than a little more than a month away from the campaign volunteer training coming up.
Yeah. So when I was talking about us spending July planning, well, this is one of the one of the big things. Mm-hmm. But this is a way, you know, twofold. One is to be helping people understand what's happening in the community. So we have a half day training that is open to, it's really geared toward individuals who run a workplace campaign, right? So, you know, we might, like Pam has attended several times from here, you know, so she'll come and learn all about what we're doing and what the impact is. And then she comes back here and is very excited about it. And she shares it with all of you and she puts stuff up on the bulletin board and she helps promote events. And so that's happening at 100 different workplaces, you know, in the communities that we serve. So it's, you know, a lot of it is designed that way, but the message is really open for, you know, everyone and anyone that wants to hear it. So this training is happening on August 22nd. It's a Tuesday and it's an afternoon. So we provide lunch and then there is there's training. So we're using a sports theme this year, which is fun. You know, the idea is support your home team, right? Yeah. So let's get on out, support the home team. And we are our pregame, as we're calling it, is, you know, lunch and some networking and connecting and finding out who's in the room and who you're connected with and what that might mean to support your campaign. And then we have, you know, kind of our main game, main event is a bus tour out in the community of the partner programs that we help to fund. So we will be out in the community, you know, checking out. There's 30 programs that our United Way helps to fund. So it's, you know, pretty significant. So we'll be out checking that out. And then kind of our post game is, you know, we'll be back. We're meeting at McMillan Library. Back at the library, we will distribute materials to help you have a successful campaign. And what does that mean? We'll talk about all the events that are coming up. You know, some of our favorites that are coming back up McDonald's, United Way Day at McDonald's, community-wide denim day, Day of Caring. So this is an opportunity to, you know, get on out and do some physical work in the community, although it's a pretty light lift, but but it still is, you know, still is some physical work. And so we'll, you know, we'll talk about all those events. What does that mean? What is that impact? And then, of course, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, fall campaign for us is about raising dollars. You know, we very much appreciate people's time, talent, treasure, so to speak. But but really, I mean, right, the rubber meets the road. And what we're trying to do is raise dollars in the fall to help support those 30 programs that that are impacting 20,000 people in our community.
I want to get more in depth with that with you before we wrap up today. But when it comes to the campaign training part, there's a couple of things that really stand out to me with this. One, I love all these kind of events in our community that you have that organic meeting situation. You know, you run into so-and-so you haven't talked to in a while or anything like that. and it's a subject that I feel like, well, I know how to volunteer or I know how to promote something. But then you get into a workshop like this or you do something like this and you're like, oh, okay, I did not know this or I didn't even think about that. I guarantee people taking these volunteering for this are going to really feel that. What kind of individuals are we looking for in case there's people out there listening that are a little on the fence or, oh, I don't know if this applies to me?
Yeah, so typically it is someone who is I don't know, like a ambassador for United Way, right? So you're running your workplace campaign, or maybe you know, you can think about that differently too. It's not just workplaces. Maybe it's a civic group that you're part of, or maybe your church. You know, maybe you're like, oh, you know, we could get together a group of people to help with something. So it could be, you know, it could be really anybody who wants to learn more, who's interested in learning more, and really cares about the community. So the way that you register is to visit our website at at uwswac.org. Registration is required, so we can't do walk-ins that day. One, because of food, and two, because of bus space. Like we need to, you know, we need to have a head count, because we do plenty of events where it's just if it works, come. But for this, you know, this is a little bit more specific. But you certainly can learn more by visiting our website. There is a banner. You just click on it, and it'll bring up some more information. But you know, we're really looking forward to this, you know, kind of hometown sports activity kind of theme. Just you know, engage. I don't know. I think it's just it attracts a lot of different people, and we're not really, you know, we're not picking one game. We're saying, you know, any game, any team, any team that you're part of.
You know, I'm a sucker for sports metaphors and references. Yeah, so I love it. But it also fits. It's a perfect for this event, and to really. Because it's one thing to bring people in. It's one thing to talk about. It's one thing to encourage them. The bus ride, I think, is the real key, the linchpin to this, if you will. That really, then you're seeing the places. You're actually feeling it. Not everybody, by odds and statistics alone, even these members, these people, even current members of the United Way, are going to be affected by one of those 30 things that you guys are impacting. But the idea that maybe they aren't, and here they realize, oh, I might be, or oh, so-and-so might. One of my best friends takes advantage of this or something like that. We're all connected when it comes to these programs.
Yeah, and it's really fun. We did the bus tour a couple of years. I believe it was like 10 and 11 or 11 and 12. I don't recall exactly, but it was very interesting because a lot of the feedback, well, first, it's time to bring it back, right? Mm-hmm. Because people haven't had the opportunity, and that's why we're doing it. But the other is that people were saying, oh, I've driven by this every day for the past 20 years, and I didn't even know it was here.
Yep.
Right? You know, so I think that, like, in the Southwood County community, like the new Boys and Girls Club YMCA, it's recognizable, right? Like it's a great, nice, big, showy building, which is awesome, amazing. We love that. But there's also plenty of other programs, and those are two of our partner programs, but there's plenty of other programs that, you know, kind of just blend in for whatever reason. They don't do their work at a storefront. They go to where people are or whatever the case would be. But it's also just kind of that, you know, sight recognition and oh, I drive by here all the time, or I've been there before. You know, so there's all these kind of fun aha moments that happen on that ride, which I really appreciate.
So my family, we used to live on the east side of town when we first moved here. A couple years passed by and everything, and we end up on the west side of town over here. When my parents first bought their house 20-some years ago or whatever, they are driving, and like a block or two over is this awesome pink restaurant. and my mom and dad are like, how long has this place been here? This place is
forever.
Awesome. Yeah, and they go there, and like up until they closed, my mom and dad would go there almost like once a month at least.
Oh, yeah.
Even just to have coffee or something. But it was an establishment that they fell in love with, that they were here in town for a good 5 years or whatever before they even realized it was there.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it's in your proximity. It's like, whoa, how was I missing this whole time?
And these are two very observant people. I don't want it to sound bad. I mean, my mom and dad very make themselves into the community and like to learn about the community, but they just didn't know about it being there.
Absolutely.
Just to your point, that I think that even locals or longtime residents, forever residents, have other establishments like that. And not just the businesses, but the situations too that are so noteworthy. And this leads us into campaign talk and the importance of the campaign. You mentioned 30 different programs, Terry. You and I say this all the time. We'd love to make it 31, like to make it 32. You can do that if you add to the campaign.
So that's exactly right. And just to rewind just a little bit, our United Way serves Southwood County, so the greater Wisconsin Rapids area, and Adams County. And so just, you know, kind of high level, those campaigns stay separate. And the reason that we do that is it's just important that dollars raised in the community support that community.
Yeah.
And then dollars raised in Adams County support programs in Adams County. So we will be funding in 2024, because we raise money this fall to start, you know, writing checks for them January 1st. So for 2024, we will be helping to fund 30 programs, 10 of which serve Adams County, and 20 of which serve Southwood County. And those are all in very specific areas of our, what we call our plan for community well-being. And those all fall into the areas of education. So thinking about youth and two areas, right? Youth success meaning like kind of school age kids, mm-hmm. and what do they have access to outside of the school day? Mm-hmm. And then also early years. So mm-hmm. what about birth to five or birth to 4K? You know, what does that look like? So two areas of programming there. And then we have financial stability. So thinking about that, you know, what does that mean for community members? Well, our goal is that community members learn how to budget and save, right? Yeah. Ultimately. Mm-hmm. And so so maybe that's economic mobility, right? Mm-hmm. Like you know, how does that look, and what does that mean for families, and how much more successful mm-hmm. can a family be when they don't always have to be thinking about today and potential possible crisis as a financial situation, but being able to think about tomorrow mm-hmm. and then eventually the next month and mm-hmm. you know, thinking, being able to think forward as it pertains to funding. And then health. So that area is around, you know, really targeted populations with a specified need. So for instance, one of our long time partners is Park Place, which is mm-hmm. an adult day service, and this affords respite care for family members who might be caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's, dementia, mm-hmm. You know, that are dependent on someone all of the time, but they are still maybe in their home versus living in a facility type situation. Mm-hmm. So just one example. And then on the other side of Plan for Community Wellbeing is safety net services. So there we're talking about emergency shelter and food. Mm-hmm. And so there's such a wide variety and scope of where United Way is involved in the community, but all of our target is on what we call the segment of our population that's called ALICE. And ALICE stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained Employed. So members of our community who are working but are not necessarily making enough money to make ends meet. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe working two part-time jobs, maybe working a full-time job, but expenses greatly, you know, outweigh the income. So there's just a delicate balance mm-hmm. sometimes about mm-hmm. that, you know, because we really want the programs that we take United Way funding and invest in, we want those programs to be meeting the needs of that population in our community and in the respective communities that we serve. So it's a very interesting process.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we need the community. That's where the dollars come from, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, the United Way, when I say take United Way funding is community investment. So it is individuals who maybe write a check, you know, maybe write a big check. It's also individuals who say, you know what, I feel like I could afford a dollar a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And there's many companies that will allow that through payroll deduction, which makes it way easier, right? Oh, you know, way really easier does. than really just, does. You know, fronting the donation. So there's a lot of ways that people can give, and we'll talk about that as we get closer to, you know, actual mm-hmm. asking people to give.
Sure.
But I think it's important to understand, you know, the why and where the dollars go and what that means. Yeah. And it is, it directly impacts our friends and neighbors and, you know, our kids as classmates and mm-hmm. the person that you sit next to at church or the person that you'll see later today in the grocery store or the gas station.
Yep.
Because you just don't know, and you don't know what someone else is carrying around and what their struggles and burdens are. Some people are good about telling us, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like some people ask for help, or some people make it known, which isn't always received in a positive way by some. But there's also plenty of people who, you know, keep that close, right? Yeah. And don't express that. But we know that there's a need, and so when 40% of our households we know are struggling to really be successful as we're thinking about, you know, financial stability.
Yeah.
This is where United Way steps up.
And this is where we ask you to step up and be a part of the solution, be a part of things with us. It takes us all to be able to make this happen, and we want to help the United Way continue to do the great work that they're doing. You can do that by finding out more, going to uwswac.org. Be sure to bookmark that webpage. Follow them on social media. Just type in your search bar, United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, and like their pages. And, of course, you can always call 211 and find out more information.
Absolutely.
Terry, always good to talk with you. Thank you for the time.
You bet. Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow, right here on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Phoenix just broke a major heat record, hitting its 19th straight day of at least 110 degrees. Hope McNally says it's miserable.
I mean, I can't stand too much more of it. I'm afraid I'm going to have a heat stroke or something.
The blistering heat's affecting at least 14 states today. On top of that, the smoke's back in the southeast. CBS's Jared Hill.
Canadian wildfire smoke is blowing back across the U.S., prompting air quality alerts from New England to Georgia. Here in New York, there's special concern for people with underlying conditions like asthma.
In Pennsylvania, rescue crews are now using drones and cadaver dogs near the Delaware River to search for a missing toddler and baby. They were swept away from their car during flash flooding over the weekend near Philly. The Justice Department's warning former President Trump that he is now the subject of their investigation into the January 6th insurrection. CBS's Scott McFarland's in Washington.
Just as he did before he was criminally charged in Manhattan and in Florida, it's Donald Trump himself posting on Truth Social that he's the target of a criminal investigation. He received a target letter, he says, Sunday from Special Counsel Jack Smith as part of the January 6th investigation, which is not just into the U.S. Capitol siege, but efforts to overturn the 2020 election results.
This comes as Georgia conducts its own investigation on 2020 and a federal judge decides what evidence can be presented in Trump's classified documents case in Miami. No trial date was set today. North Korean missiles may have just landed outside of Japan as the U.S. looks into the detention of an American soldier there. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre.
We believe the soldier is currently in DPRK custody and are working with our North Korean counterparts to resolve this incident.
Actors are back out on the picket lines fighting for better wages and benefits. Law and Order actress Catherine Irby is in New York.
The Hollywood ending to this strike is that the fat cats share the profits, and